half-ass something, don't half-ass the body disposal. Like, just make sure you got that taken care
of. You gotta give it your whole ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
All ass or no ass.
That's what the bumper sticker on my
ass
car
says. Ass or ass.
It says all ass or no ass. Some ass.
Words to live by.
All right, credit.
Say, you all didn't happen to do a bunch of drugs, did you? Men are evil. You go with me? He irons her jeans. She's evil. She has to be destroyed.
Welcome to Firebad True Pretty, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast. We're your hosts, Amanda Cronister.
And Lydia Matson.
And we learned in this episode that Faith is real fucking bad at hiding bodies.
Yeah, she's like, oh, it's gone. I waited. And then 10 fucking minutes later, it's all over the goddamn news.
I put 3 marbles in his pocket, so they'll never find him.
I put some loaves of bread on top of him. White bread.
I put him on top of a dumpster. Not inside the dumpster, just in the, like, on top of it.
I waited him in a baby pool.
I hung him in a store window next to the other mannequins.
No one will ever find him.
She's just like, she talks such a big game, and then it's like, oh, we got a body. Brutal murder. And Deputy Mayor Alan Finch's body discovered in the fountain in Sunnydale Mall.
Someone half-heartedly covered him in pennies and then fled.
Someone made a lot of wishes on this poor man's corpse. For Deputy Mayor Finch, none of them came true.
Yes, they did, because his one wish was the sweet release of death.
Full story at 8.
You're a slayer. You should be able to fucking do better. Well, you can lift big boulders to weight him.
Faith dropped out of high school, so she doesn't
She didn't take weighting bodies
she
class.
She doesn't know the basics of, like...
like weight?
Weight and flotation.
She didn't learn how things weigh in high school.
Well, she doesn't know that the body will bloat and float. It bloats and floats. That's the rule.
All float. We all float down here.
Yep. All of us.
All of us. Anyway, fucking sucks at this.
No matter how many marbles we have in our pockets.
She gets an F- on body weighting down.
Good thing she's already flunked out. So today we are discussing episode 15 of season 3, Consequences, which originally aired February 16th, 1999. It was written by Marty Noxon and directed by Michael Gershman. And this is our second take on this episode, though we only got a little bit of the way through it last time because we were both a little bit done with it, but Lydia was like deteriorating rapidly.
Yeah. I had skipped a night of sleep for the first time in a while and was getting sillier, plus the bunker like went up 20 degrees and we were both sweating any brain cells we had out. So
I'm sure
maybe Amanda will mix some of those into the intro outro parts, but we're just starting over.
I'm sure that it's hot no matter where you are because the earth is cooking, but it's been pretty brutal here in Philly.
Yep.
So anyway, previously on this fine episode.
You're fired.
New watcher?
New watcher? New watcher. New watcher.
Sexy Slayer dance party.
Woo, woo, want, woo, take, woo, woo. Have, dancing, techno. He's dead, whoops.
Faith, stop!
You don't get it. You killed a man.
You don't get it. I don't care.
Oh my god. So the drama was big. Big drums.
It was big. Big drums and some, like, demon fat roll shaming.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't like that.
No, I didn't like that either. But there was also big drums. There was a store full of weapons. Mm-hmm. Faith is a bad, sexy influence on Buffy.
Mm-hmm. Darn tootin'.
And then...
she also told Buffy that if slaying doesn't make her horny, you're doing it wrong.
Buffy's like... I mean, it makes me want a yogurt. So.
Now I'm fat, of course. Well, I like how this episode begins because I have a theory that...
Is it demons?
No, it's that Buffy and Jason Voorhees have identical origin stories because there's the drowning dream. So, you know, kind of like Jason was killed by drowning. And maybe if Buffy had Mrs. Voorhees as a mom, things would be very different. And if Jason had Mrs. Summers as a mom, he could have been a contributing member of society.
You think?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going with it.
I don't think that Buffy would ever become a scary nightmare monster.
She might not become a scary nightmare monster, but if your mom was like, I killed the counselors because they weren't watching you, my sweet buffin stuff, you might be kind of fucked up.
Okay, see, this is where I reveal my lack of knowledge about
Friday the 13th
or whatever is going on, because I literally thought you were talking about Jason.
Oh, my ferret?
No, isn't Voorhees the guy with the mask?
Yeah, Jason Voorhees.
That's not Nightmare on Elm Street, is it? That's Friday the 13th. Friday, yeah. Oh my God, I'm so confused. Okay.
Okay, Friday the 13th.
Hockey mask.
Little boy Jason is drowned at camp. Like 20 years later is the events of the first Friday the 13th, and the killer is his mom, who's mm-hmm. killing all the counselors for letting her son die.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then like at the very end of the movie, he like jumps out of the lake and grabs the survivor on like her canoe, and then two and on are grown-up Jason, who somehow didn't die drowning.
Wasn't there one in space?
Yes, that one's funny.
Why?
I don't know. Okay. That came out when I was in boarding school, and when I got back, I'm like, I have to see Jason X.
I have to see Jason
in
space. And
it was so funny.
Okay. So yeah, we do open on Buffy in her water dream. She's trying to swim, and dead old Alan is dragging her down.
Yep.
She finally gets to the surface, but who is there but one Faith Lehane waiting to push her back under.
And she's like, oh no, I'm drowning. Oh no. And then she wakes up.
Yeah, she wakes up. IRL Buffy wakes up in bed feeling several types of ways, all of which are negative.
But she's not too worried because Faith got rid of the body. Yep. And it's been weighted and it will never surface again until she walks into the room where her mom's watching the news.
And they're talking about a brutal stabbing of the deputy mayor whose body, as they do, surfaced from wherever Faith dumped it with several shards of metal in its pockets.
I really...
She's like, I put a 50-cent coin in both of his pockets.
That's all she did.
She's God like, damn it. What a waste of a dollar.
I took these really heavy balloons and tied them to his limbs.
I put floaties all over his legs.
It's like up, but with like his dead body.
I'm just imagining her like taking those like ankle weights and just like strapping them to his ankles.
I really think she just, like, threw him in a kiddie pool and then was like, ha-ha, no one will find you.
She's like, it's dark. The water's dark. Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
there
Faith.
There is no body. He's gone.
There is definitely a body. It reminds me of, and this is, like, way spoiler because I'm not that we fucking give a shit about spoilers here, but in season six when Buffy thinks that she, when the trio makes Buffy think that she killed Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spike's like, I got rid of the body. And then the police are like, we found a body. Even Spike is bad at it. Spike has enough experience being evil that he should be able to dump a body.
Also, I feel like Faith, like Slayers have kind of like a whole bunch of like gifts.
Yeah.
Like she should at least.
Well, Faith is a terrible liar. It's not one of her gifts. She is not preternaturally gifted at lying.
No, she's not. Only at fucking.
She probably is pretty good at fucking, although she's also real good at sexual assault, as we have learned.
Or we will learn in the future.
Oh my God, my timeline is off. What day is it? What year is it? Where are my false teeth?
Well, to be fair, we didn't record 2 weeks ago. We were going to do this episode 4 weeks ago. And then, you have an excuse.
We're a mess.
We are.
Woo-hoo. But like, okay, so Faith can't dump a body. I believe that Faith is just kind of dumb and she didn't weight the body properly.
Mm-hmm.
Spike should know how to weight a fucking body.
Yeah, Spike
has
no excuse.
Is the river in Sunnydale or wherever they're dumping these bodies just like the Dead Sea that it's like so salinated that everything floats?
Maybe it's a lake.
Is it
a river or a lake?
You throw a car in there and it's just like, I'm here.
And they also live near the ocean because there's obviously the docks, unless the docks are on the river, which is possible. There's docks on rivers.
Yeah, but like cargo ships, well,
they go up the Delaware, I'll have you know.
They do, I suppose. I don't know.
There's no Delaware in Sunnydale.
Who knows?
Yeah. Either
Who
way.
Knows?
Terrible
Faith is
body
bad.
Getting
She's bad
rid
at
of
it.
Ing. She's a rank amateur.
She is. Okay. So Buffy stands there and she is like not. She is not pleased to see this news. She looks genuinely like she's struggling.
Yeah. And Mayor Wilkins gets on the news and he's like, he wasn't only my employee, he was my friend.
Who I made shit himself on the daily.
I won't rest until whoever did this is found.
He expensed those diapers.
He did.
It's a taxpayer issue.
And he's hardcore milking his sad face.
Oh, of course. So
then Joyce notices Buffy and she's like, oh, you're up. Isn't it terrible?
Dun, dun, dun. Credits.
And we're in the library.
Wesley wants them to investigate Alan's death because why?
I have no fucking idea. Buffy... Giles is like, you know, you kind of just... Oh, wait, sorry. I fucked that up.
Yeah, Buffy's like, why? But Faith is like, sure, why not? Let's just go look at his body and see what happened to him.
Yeah, but Giles is like, I'm sure the police are investigating this. If you ask me, there's better things that a Slayer can do with their time. And Wes is like, I didn't ask you.
And
snap,
we're like,
snap, snap. Oh, he makes me so mad in this episode.
Don't be mean to Giles. Oh, now kiss.
Yes.
Enter Cordelia, speaking of kissing, and Wes is immediately transfixed, which is like...
Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night.
Actually, I think of like, why do birds suddenly appear?
I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, she may be... in retrospect, this whole thing is gross. Like, she may be 18, but she's still a high school student.
Oh, and I like how the person who did the transcript wrote, Wesley turns to see who has spoken and is immediately taken by her beauty. He stares at her with his mouth agape, looking her up and down. But Wes is definitely a creepier.
I mean, a little bit of a creeper, yeah. Like,
not quite that
again,
bad.
Cordelia... is 18 and she is, you know, certainly a willing participant, but like, dog,
yeah,
can you wait like a little bit?
Although she does come in and say she needs a psych book, and Wes is like, oh, you teach psych, and they're like, haha, no.
Yeah. Well, to his credit, when he finds out she is a student, he does immediately kind of like back off, but his erection does not subside.
Yeah. And he backs off by saying like, oh, I'm here to watch girls.
To watch my girls.
To watch girls. Because he's on a fucking roll.
I'm here. He's on a fucking roll. Which is like tuck and roll, except
is,
for fucking.
Different.
So it's where you jump out of a moving vehicle and into a vagina.
I'm roll.
And then you roll.
Oh, and I have one more thing that I want to note about the fucking episode transcriber.
Yes.
Because when she leaves, it says...
Oh, God, yes.
She gives him a bright smile and goes to retrieve her books. On her way out, she makes sure to put just the right amount of swing in her hips.
Ew, creepy.
And, like, I saw that before I watched it, and it's like... literally, her hips are in frame for, like, a microsecond. And most of, like, the scene while she walks away, you don't even fucking see them. And she just walks like a normal person.
He couldn't see her hips, but he knew instinctively that they were swaying seductively.
He could feel the hip pheromone.
He could see them in his mind's eye.
And he whispered to himself, let me see that booty talk.
Oh, God.
And see that booty talk he did.
Okay. Oh, it reminds me of, like, the men writing women.
Oh,
things
yeah.
Things where it's like, she boobed boobily to the door and hoisted her bosoms into the car.
Her breasts felt like watermelons under her hands.
Ew, ow! Think of the chest pain.
But yeah, Cordy is not doing this, like, exaggerated Betty Boop sachet out the door with the soundtrack of porn music. She's just walking like a normal fucking human
being. She turned to leave, seductively waggling her cheeks at him.
As... and someone in band is hiding in the stacks like... but yeah, so... oh, gross. And then he watches her leave and says, my, she is cheeky, isn't she?
Well, her cheeks were waggling.
Apparently.
So they end this whole thing with Wes deciding that they will be investigating Alan's death.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is fine with it. Blasé. Buffy looks like she's going to choke on her own vomit.
And Wes is like, you have to do what I say because I'm your commander now.
Ew.
What?
I command you.
And then after they leave, sorry, transcriber, but one more thing. He's like, Wesley smiles beatifically after them. Not really how what he does. He
Ew.
Just kind of watches them leave.
I just also know we're very out of it. At least I'm very out of it right now. I was literally sleeping when Lydia got here. One of the things that and this is from the transcript, not the shooting script.
Yeah,
so someone's definitely taking some liberties with his like descriptions. When Faith is like, first word jail, second word bait, Wesley pulls out his handkerchief and dabs his mouth.
Ugh.
Wesley mops the drool that is gathered in the corner of his lips.
Yeah. And, like, when I watch it, I see, like, Wes look after them with a third of a smile, but he's like, he smiles beatifically after them, which means bestowing bliss,
yes,
blessings, happiness, or the like, or blissful, saintly. And that's not how he smiled at them
Wesley,
as they left.
Saint Wesley.
He just looked like our Saint Buffy candle as he watched them leave.
I mean, she doesn't look beatific. She looks... like she's gonna eat your heart, which
little,
I'm good with.
Grr.
That's how I want my women to look. Like, they might rip your heart out and eat it.
Darn too.
So, okay. We cut to an empty classroom where Faith and Buffy decide to scream at each other about murder.
In the middle of this fucking school day.
With, Yeah, nobody's in the room, but like,
still, it's the middle of the school day.
Like, there are people passing. What if somebody comes into that classroom?
I don't know. Because again, I think like, okay, they've already been yelling across the quad about Slayer stuff, but this time it's like, you're gonna rat me out? You killed a man. You're in high school in the middle of the day.
You're gonna rat me out for that murder I did? You did it too.
Also, anytime I hear the word rat, I think of in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, where Michelangelo's like, you dirty rat, you killed my brother. I don't know why. Just
you dirty rat, you killed the deputy mayor. Buffy insists that they have to come clean. She can't pretend to investigate it.
Mm-hmm. And Faith is like, but you could pretend that Angel's still dead. And it's like,
that is not relevant to this situation.
Also, like, they made it like two episodes without someone fucking throwing Angel in Buffy's face. It's so annoying and old and just stop. Also not the same
Faith,
as murder.
Like, remember when you tried to kill Angel?
I want them to have like one of those workplace like X days since last injury, except like X days since someone's been a total douche weasel to their best friend Buffy about Angel.
It would always be on zero.
It would always be on zero forever.
She also insists that Buffy was just as culpable as she is, which is not true. I'm sorry. No. Buffy told you to stop. Mm-hmm. You didn't. You stabbed. Like, it was an accident.
It was an accident, but Buffy did less of it.
Which is why Buffy is correct that they should come clean to Giles.
Yeah.
Like, as he says later, and as we've speculated before, like, there's no way this has not happened before.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
It happens.
Yeah.
And
but if you come to your watcher or ex-watcher and be like, look, this happened, it was an accident, that's a lot better than, like, lying about it and waiting down the body to dump it.
I disappeared my mistake.
No one will ever find it.
No one will ever find him at the bottom of this shallow puddle outside the police station. lying is only going to make it worse, and it does. But Faith is, she's defensive, and she's not having it.
Yep. And she's cold as ice.
She is cold as ice.
And then she walks out of the classroom. Again, it's Sunnydale High in the middle of the school day where they just talked about murder. Also, she doesn't even go there.
Why? Can you imagine?
Also, Wes. Why is Wes there?
Faith, I think we've talked about this before. Faith, I can see she could fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Although I don't believe that Snyder would ignore a random student now hanging around with Buffy because he hates Buffy.
But, like, at my high school, like, some kid who went somewhere else could, like, be in the school and no one would really notice.
But an adult man?
Wes? There's an adult man who does not in any way, shape, or form work here.
No.
He's hanging
out. He's just here.
And when you ask him, he's here to watch girls. Buffy and Faith. He's here to watch them. That's what he does. He likes to watch.
I'm going to be phoning the police now.
They should already be doing that with the book cage and everything.
Book cage, oh my God.
Sunnydale High is so problematic.
Just a den of perversion. So Buffy walks into the lounge area and approaches a very salty Willow.
Awkward!
She immediately asks where Faith is because she's, justifiably pretty hurt that Buffy blew her off to kill stuff with Faith.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of awkward, and they both start to talk at the same time, and then Willow's like, oh, I gotta go. I'm meeting Michael. She calls him a warlock, but he's a boy witch.
I think you mean Pinsky?
Yes.
She's going to meet Pinsky.
Boy watch Pinsky. Boy witch.
She's going to watch boys with Pinsky.
Yes. Because they want to still try to derat Amy, which they will try for a little while and then completely forget about.
This whole thing is just a shitty interaction. Like, nobody feels good about it.
Yeah, they both are awkward and then they both leave and it makes me sad.
So cut to capital T, capital A, V Alley. At night. Flashing lights, cops, detectives.
The only detective in Sunnydale is
back.
Oh
my God. The one with a hate boner for Buffy.
The only detective they have.
The detective is interviewing a woman who claims she heard a man scream the night before. Mm-hmm. But Alan never screamed.
No, he didn't.
So this woman
is a liar.
It's full of shit. She's going to sell her story to the tabloids.
Mm-hmm. Fucker. And we see, like, Angel lurking around the corner like a goddamn creeper.
Like a fucking creeper.
And then it's like, you see them with the blood, and then it's like...
Yeah, he flashes back to the blood on Buffy's hand. Like, that's fucking unusual.
Yeah.
It cannot be unusual for Buffy to have blood on her hands.
But it was right where the murder was.
Fair. But I guess.
Fine. She just put her hands on her face like a child somehow.
Okay.
But yeah, so Angel flashes back to like, your hand. Oh, it's okay. Flashes back to the present and watches the only detective in Sunnydale work.
So we cut to City Hall, but before we move into the scene, I'd like to note what the shooting script had to say.
Ooh.
Close on, a paper shredder as it gobbles up some documents. Makes spaghetti of them.
Ooh.
We at one of my old jobs, we put googly eyes on the shredder and called him Shreddy.
That's so awesome.
So we were feeding Shreddy.
That's so cool.
Shreddy spaghetti. So
yeah, so Mayor Wilkins is there with Mr. Trick, and he's like, it's not working.
Usually feeding Shreddy makes me feel better. Yeah.
And Trick's like, oh, today you're not getting the yayas. And I agree that shredding is fun, and also yayas sounds like boobs.
I mean, he's not getting those from the shredder at all.
It's just not giving him the joy.
The mayor
does.
Is a family man. Mm-hmm. So apparently Alan left quite a paper trail of their activities. Was he going to betray them? Yes.
We think he was.
Yeah, probably, because you were awful to him and you scared him to the point of defecating himself every day.
A poor man, of course he was going to betray you.
Trick interrupts his downward spiral of aw shucks gee willikers with the police report on Alan's death, which reveals that there were wooden splinters in Alan's heart.
Dun, dun, dun!
Trick thinks that a slayer did this.
And Mayor Wilkins's yayas are achieved
with
that.
Grabbed those boobs.
He is so happy.
He's grabbed those joggling watermelon breasts of life.
Yes!
And
yayas achieved.
So this is what it takes to turn his frown upside down.
Yep.
Yayas. He laughs like a fucking psycho as we cut to black.
Yep. So then we're still in City Hall, but it's nighttime, mm-hmm. and Faith and Buffy are breaking in, sneaking around.
They're doing some breaking and entering.
And Faith finds a picture of the mayor and Alan. And did you look at this picture?
Alan looks horrified.
He looks happy, and I think it's photoshopped. He looks genuinely happy, and it's photoshopped, because he was never that close to the mayor without shitting himself.
Is the smile going to his eyes? Is it genuine?
It's going to his left eye, but not his right eye. The one eye is kind of...
The one different. Eye is showing his real... That's... It's been... So either the one eye is showing his true feelings, or it's been photoshopped except for that eye.
So... No, I think they photoshopped him. Like, they like, Ellen, hold this plaque to the side and smile. And then later they're like, Mayor, go. And then they just put them together
like,
and it looks like they're friends.
Do you want some ice cream? He smiles, and they take his picture, and then they go to the mayor, and they're like, Mayor, do you want to eat a child's heart? Ah.
It's like, I'm just picturing, like, a photographer, like, for children, like, ringing a bell and getting Alan to, like...
Alan, ice cream.
So, yes, either this manipulated by Photoshop or by manipulating Alan picture.
Oh, poor Alan.
Faith did Alan a motherfucking favor. Like, he just lived in constant fear of the mayor 24/7. He was always, like, shitting himself in fucking fear. And he finally got the sweet release of death thanks to Faith. And he's a million times happier now.
I mean... He did probably have one of those like Amazon Go buttons where it just delivered depends to his house.
He had to have done
the
subscribe
poor man. Poor man can't hold down a relationship.
No.
He can't have any friends.
No one wants a man that's constantly shitting himself.
No one wants a man that's constantly living in fear.
Well, maybe some. If you're into that, that's fine. No shame.
Oh, maybe he could be like an adult baby thing. But that's a real specific interest.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, I'm shitting myself all the time, so I'm now into baby play.
Yeah, like in every scene.
Adult baby play.
Thank you. But yeah, in every single scene he's been in for this whole season, he has been fucking terrified.
Yeah.
Like, that's... His heart would have gave out soon anyway. Like, Faith just did him a favor.
I mean, I think that the real favor would have been if she, like, didn't stab him through the heart, and then they helped him, and then they stopped the mayor, and then they freed him to live his best gay life.
But then he'd have to live with the scars of... We don't know how long he worked for the mayor. It could have been years of torture.
But then once he's dead, maybe he can, like, join their team. Or, like, maybe he can move to San Francisco and...
Look at him.
He can move to San Francisco and take a lover. Okay.
All right. That's true. I shouldn't just assume that he wouldn't have been able to get over it.
He would. I believe in Alan. He's resourceful. But he was trying to break free. But...
He was.
He is now free in the real...
Yep.
Free of this mortal coil
he's
sense.
He's gone. But not his body, because that was poorly weighted down.
Okay.
But then they notice that all the folders in the drawer are empty, so, like... You know, somebody didn't want us to prove anything, so they think that something's going on.
And when she finds that picture, she does for a moment seem to exhibit some real human feelings,
mm-hmm.
but immediately crawls back inside her sociopath shell to protect herself from the world. So
then the hallway's clear, so they, like, go out in the hallway, but then the mayor's door opens, so they, like, kind of hide back.
Yeah, Faith wants to leave, but Buffy thinks that Alan was looking for them, and finding that all his papers are gone, like, confirms that something is... up. So they start to creep out, and that's when they see Trick and the mayor, and that's when they, like, hide in the door.
And then
they hide in the doorway.
And then, according to the shooting script, Buffy and Faith walk quickly on the street. Buffy is reeling, freaked by what she just saw. Faith, on the other hand, seems pumped.
Yeah.
But Faith is like, well, the mayor's a black hat, that's a shocker. And Buffy's really surprised because she didn't get the bad guy vibe off him.
Yeah, well, because she gets that 50s dad vibe off him, which really is kind of also the bad guy vibe.
Yeah, I kind of like can't tell if I think that's weird because he's obviously a bad guy to me, or if I just think he obviously is because I have watched the show so many times and I just know it so much.
I think from the outside, he doesn't look like a bad guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, to us, he seems might.
Like too nice.
To us, he might. Yeah. But like, if you're like a mom in Sunnydale, you fucking love that guy.
Yeah, she's pretty much, and Buffy's pretty much only seen him at like the Moo meeting where, you know, so I guess that makes sense.
They don't have extensive interactions with the mayor. Yeah. So,
oh, do you want to act out their street fight about this since we have so little talent on the show?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, just to set the scene, guys, they're in the middle of the goddamn street, outside in public, middle of the street.
And there is one cut line here.
Oh, I don't think I have it.
From here, so it's a Buffy line. Or it's just like a different take on her line. Do you want to be Faith or Buffy?
I'll be Buffy.
Okay, I'll be Faith.
Make sure to be loud on the street. So as if you're yelling about this on the street.
All right. So the mayor of Sunnydale is a black hat. That's a shocker, huh? Hey, you, by the movie theater, do you hear me?
Actually, yeah. I didn't get the bad guy vibe off of him. Did you? Innocent bystander down the way?
When are you going to learn, B? It doesn't matter what kind of vibe you get off a person. Because 9 times out of 10, the face they're showing you is not the real one. Hey, guy buying coffee? Is that your real face?
They step up onto the opposite sidewalk. Because they're on the street. I guess you know a lot about that.
What is that supposed to mean?
I guess I'll do, like, the regular one and then the different one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right. It's just, look at you, Faith. Less than 24 hours ago, you killed a man. A man, you killed him. And now it's all zippity-doo-dah. It's not your real face, and I know it. Look, I know what you're feeling because I'm feeling it, too.
It's just the bolded part that's new.
Oh, that's right. So in the shooting script, they added in the middle of that. And now you're laughing and scratching? And zippity-doo-dah. What is she scratching?
I don't know.
Did she have her hand on her pants?
She has a yeast infection.
Murder will do that.
She has a stress-related yeast infection.
Anytime I kill a man and poorly dump his body, I get a yeast infection.
Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Do you? So fill me in, because I'd like to hear this. And I bet Jerry over there at the ice cream shop would like to hear it, too.
Dirty. Like something sick creeped inside you and you can't get it out. And you keep hoping it was just some nightmare, but it wasn't. Because you actually murdered someone. And we're going to have to figure out.
Is there going to be an intermission in this? Like, I want to go over there and make sure that the guy who's selling popcorn knows what we're talking about.
Just let me talk to Giles, okay? I swear, we're talking to everybody else about it anyway.
No, we're not bringing anybody else into this except for everybody that's on the street with us right
they
now.
They can all keep a secret.
You got to keep your head, B. This is all going to blow over in a few days.
And if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, then they got a freighter leaving the docks at least twice a day. It ain't fancy, but it gets you gone. Right? Right, yeah, Charlie? Right.
There's dock worker Charlie over there. He'll tell you.
He knows. We've talked.
And that's it. You just live with it. You see the dead guy, in your head every day for the rest of your life.
Buffy, I'm not going to see anything. I missed the mark last night, and I'm sorry about the guy. You know, the guy I killed
last night?
I really am, but it happens. Anyway, how many people do you think we've saved by now? Thousands? And didn't you stop the world from ending? Because in my book, that puts you and me in the plus column. I don't know how far we're going with this.
That's almost over.
Okay.
We help people. It doesn't mean we can do whatever we want.
Why not? The guy I offed.
As
in killed with my hands, was no Gandhi. I mean, we just saw he was mixed up in dirty dealings.
Maybe. But what if he was coming to us for help?
What if he was? You're still not seeing the big picture, B. Something made us different. We're warriors. We're built to kill. And I did, in case you weren't listening.
We kill demons. It does not mean that we get to pass judgment on people like we're better than everyone else.
We are better.
Damn.
She said that!
I, as Buffy, am taken aback.
That's right, better. People need us to survive. In the balance, nobody's gonna cry over some random bystander who got caught in the crossfire, meaning that I stabbed him in the heart. Hey, Jerry, listen. Don't get distracted.
I am going to cry about the man you killed, that is.
Well, that's your loss.
Then she turns her back on Buffy and walks away down the street. Still outside.
To probably go tell everybody who wasn't listening.
Okay, obviously we added some things.
Nope, that was verbatim.
In the middle of the street. The fuck, dude. Oh, and God. I don't think it's that late in the middle of the night, because when they both get home, the detectives at their houses.
Yeah, and you know the police in Sunnydale don't work past 10.
Yeah, especially their only goddamn detective.
So, okay. Buffy gets home to find the same detective who investigated Ted's murder and Kendra's murder in her living room.
Detective Sunnydale.
I bet this guy has one of those crazed murder boards full of red string and pictures of Buffy.
Probably, because they're very, like, particular about what they investigate and what they don't, because most things they don't.
Hey,
like,
remember when they investigated that homeless guy that got slashed by a fork guy in the park?
Remember the other time when they found the decapitated teacher in the school
fridge? And they didn't even do anything about it?
That was great.
Man, what a life. So we cut back and forth between him questioning Buffy and questioning Faith.
And we see that their answers are different when, like, they say they're together and watching TV, but Faith says they were watching a movie, Buffy says infomercial.
Because they're lying. Yep. So he claims that witnesses saw them in the alley. Mm-hmm. Faith is flippant, Buffy is quiet.
And then he's like, strange thing is, the weapon, it was made out of... wood?
Ooh!
Someone say... wood?
Ooh! So, the detective tells them both that they should come clean if they're protecting someone.
And Buffy looks horribly guilty. Yeah. And Faith is just like, whatevs, bitch.
Faith is just like, please leave. I have TV to watch. Yes. Angel, and I also have to call my friend Jerry and make sure he knows all about what I did. So,
yep.
Angel watches him leave. He's like creeping outside
skulking
of
again.
Faith's motel.
Yeah.
He's really getting back to his like lurking roots in this episode.
Yeah, he's very skulky.
Also, there's a payphone.
Ooh.
I'm assuming this is it's outside of Faith's motel, because I don't think Ravello Drive has a payphone right outside of Buffy's house.
That'd be kind of funny if they did. Just like out there.
Southern California in the late 90s, the heyday of payular phones.
Payphones.
Of payphones.
Yeah. So I used to go, my mom would drop me off the mall, and I would make sure to have change so I could call her from the payphone to pick me up. Actually, I usually did not have change, or I spent it on something else and called her collect, which is pretty expensive, and I kept doing it.
That's a dick move.
Sorry, Mom.
After the creeping and the investigations, we cut to Willow's room, and she's tapping away on her computer when she hears a tapping on her door window thing.
And then Buffy's looking in like a sad puppy dog.
It's sad, Buffy, and she needs to talk.
And this scene is... Willow's so cute in this scene, though.
Yeah, Willow takes the opportunity to unload about Faith and feeling excluded. And when she says, all of a sudden, I'm not cool enough for you because I can't kill things with my bare hands.
And then Buffy bursts into tears and Willow thinks she did it. She's like, I'm sorry, I was too hard
on
you.
I'm a bad person. I don't know my own strength.
It's so cute. And then Buffy says she's in trouble. And then it kind of cuts to later after Buffy's explained. And I just want to note that I... named this section of my notes the tears of Colonel Buffington, and then wrote in parentheses, I don't know.
I know.
This was like a month ago when I did this.
The tears of Colonel Buffington.
The tears of Colonel Buffington.
The tears of H.R. Buffin stuff.
H.R. Buffin stuff.
So Willow, off screen, she fills Willow in, and then of course Willow tells her to go to Giles.
Which should be the fucking obvious thing to do.
So, cut to the library, where Buffy has indeed come to find Giles, and we start a wild fucking ride.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy the ride, though.
I do, too. So,
Buffy's about to come clean. She's like, I don't know how to say this.
Also, though, can I just... Does Giles live at the library? What time is it? Does Giles not have his apartment anymore?
He did.
So...
I don't know.
She calls his name, and he comes out of his office, followed by Faith, who told him what she did.
Yeah, because she starts to, like, say, like, I know I've kept things from you before, but then when, Faith comes out, she Rico Suave's it, and she's just like, I've been falling off my classes.
Yeah.
But Faith's like, you know, it's okay, I told him.
The look on Faith's face is, like, genuinely frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is full up in her, like, sociopath.
Yeah, and then she just kind of, she, like, looks Buffy in the eyes and says, like, she told him, and then she just kind of, like, is just looking around like it's
he
no
had
big deal.
To know what you did.
You did. And Buffy tries to argue, and Giles, ooh, Giles gets stern.
He does get stern.
And I really like it, because for some reason, him being, like, stern to fake out Faith is, like, extra sexy.
I have a note in here that says, he gets stern, Giles' voice on, and tells Buffy to get in his office, which, hey, but also, ew, brain, stop it. This is not the time.
Yeah, he's just like, get in my office, Faith, I'll talk to you in the morning. Yeah. Buffy starts talking, and he's like, now, and I'm like, oh, I came.
But of course, so Buffy is like shook. She's like, yeah, she's yeah. But of course,
so she starts explaining, and Giles is like looking to make sure Faith is gone, and that's like, yeah, I know it was Faith.
She's a terrible liar.
Yes,
just a god. She has many talents. None of them are lying.
No. And Giles says like he's sorry because Buffy is obviously shook.
Yeah.
He says that he needed Faith to think that he was on her side because he doesn't know how far she will take this charade.
All the way.
All the way.
All the way.
All the way. And Giles says, like, you should just come to me. And Buffy's like, I wanted to, but, you know, Faith wasn't having it.
Yeah. Giles tells her, of course, obviously, this is not the first time this has happened. It could not possibly be the first time this happened.
Okay, I have to read from my notes again. Giles says, the Slayer's on the front line of a nightly war. Now, it's tragic, but accidents has happened. And then I wrote, just call me General Buffingstock.
General buffing stuff.
I just apparently was making Buffy puns all through my notes last month, Lydia, when I did these.
Lydia was in a fugue state.
General Buffingstock on the front lines of the nightly war.
Okay. So, yeah, he says that the council investigates when this happens, but Giles has no plans to involve them because he knows it will push Faith over the edge, and she is in, like, huge denial.
Yeah. And there's, like, a tiny cut thing where, you know, in the scene that we see, it's like, she's utterly unable to accept responsibility, but it says shows no remorse, which is also true. So Buffy's like, yeah, she's freaking.
Yeah, there's also a cut line where once Faith is like, I told them what you did. What I did? And she's like, Giles, no, that's not what happened. In the shooting script, Giles is also like, I don't want to hear it, Buffy. You've been lying again to me, to everybody.
Oh, no.
So they plan to meet with the gang and see if anybody else would be in a position to get through to her.
And in the meantime, no one else is to know. And then the camera just pans over. And
to fucking Wesley lurking outside the office, listening with his poutiest, but I'm in charge face and his arms folded. Okay.
Yeah.
Several points. This is not going to go well, my dude.
I just want to show you for the next scene.
Oh, I know. I have those too. Literally, why is everybody always at school in the middle of the night? It's like he has Buffy and Giles are discussing something sensor implanted in his dumb brain.
Yeah, and we see later that, like, Wes has a hotel room because when he calls, I forget what I saw in the scene, but it made me realize it was a hotel room. Maybe it was like a no smoking sign or something.
But maybe he's just very strict.
Well, he's gonna live somewhere anyway. Why is he there at the library in the middle of the night?
God only knows. So naturally, Wes immediately calls the council to tattle. The code word is monkey.
I love monkeys, but I don't like this. I like their code word, but not what they're doing.
Monkeys, I do not approve of these actions.
Don't you use monkeys for this purpose?
Don't use monkeys for your nefarious plans.
You monsters.
So the next day, the gang meets in, again, some empty part of the school.
Yep.
Lounge, classroom, cafeteria. What time is it? Is it before school?
I don't know.
Are we in Rosewood where they have like hours and hours of time before school?
No goddamn idea. But Willow's, it cuts in kind of in the middle of the talk, and Willow's like, maybe we should talk to her together. And Buffy makes the best fucking point, which is the intervention thing that you guys did to me.
It sucked real bad.
That didn't work really good, because y'all were fucking dicks.
Oh, Giles suggests a one-on-one approach, and Xander volunteers, because he and Faith have a connection. Oh, sweet summer child.
And I love the like, you see Giles as Xander is talking, and then he's like, he looks confused.
Yeah.
And then he's like, huh? Just his face is perfect.
Yeah. My dear sweet summer child. Yes. Everyone is like, LOL, why?
Oh, there's two little cut lines right there where after he says connection, Buffy's like, a connection? Like when you say hi, and she says hi, and then she blows you off?
And Xander's like, something like that. In a roundabout way, he reveals that he and Faith did the do.
Yeah.
And Buffy and Giles are shocked, but Willow is secretly, not really that secretly devastated.
Yeah, because Buffy's like, oh, and then Giles is like, oh, and Willow's like, oh, I don't need to say oh, I got it. And it's sad.
And Buffy tries to explain to Xander that Faith doesn't really care about the guys that she has sex with.
Yeah, just because you, like, had sex with her doesn't mean that, you know, you can you have a connection.
No, dog. Faith probably has less respect for you than anyone else because she had sex with you. But how it goes is not great.
So he still wants to try, but whatever.
It's all very awkward. They awkwardly dance around the parts they will play.
And then we cut to the next scene.
Another cut line from Giles. So Xander, I think we're not really doing a talentless show this episode because there's not enough. It's just one. Xander, Buffy, this is when Buffy's like, no offense, they're kind of a big joke to her. And he's like, oh no, why would I be offended by that? And Giles is like, Buffy's right. Xander, in this instance, it would be best if you let Faith be. But then they go on to be like, I can still use assistance, blah, blah, blah. So
the next scene, we get like a montage. Aww. This is a montage. We see every Scooby. Each one is alone. They stare into space. No smiles on their face. Cause they're deep in thought and they're sad.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So yeah, we cut to an empty bathroom where Willow cries her giant puffy eyes out in a stall over the fact that her first love and obsession slept with Faith.
I need to ask you something though, because in so many TV shows, if someone's upset, they go in the public school bathroom and at least she's not eating lunch, because a lot of times they eat lunch there, they just sit with their clothes on the toilet seat. Like, is that a thing that people do?
I don't know. Seems
really gross.
I don't understand why, if their school is empty enough that they can have this meeting in the cafeteria, she wouldn't just cry somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, if Buffy and Faith can talk about murder in an empty classroom, I'm sure Willow could find one.
I mean, unrelated, but I did hear somebody eating while going to the bathroom at my old work's bathroom.
Oh my god. It's like scarred me for life, but I don't even know the guy. It was somebody my brother Alex used to work with. He told me that, like, I forget how he said it came up, but his coworker said, like, he brought dinner in the bathroom, like a plate and shit, and like would eat while he was shitting.
Yeah, this was someone was eating chips while they were going to the bathroom.
It's just like, you don't shit where you eat is a saying,
but you shit while you eat. I also saw people in this bathroom used to also like make video calls while they were shitting and stuff. Like,
I can't even stand when people are like on the regular phone when they're doing
also
that.
It was a public bathroom.
Yeah.
But anyway,
not okay.
So Buffy, Willow is very sad, and I feel for her. And she also, like, has this extra thing where she, like, kind of feels like Buffy was stolen by Faith and now Xander was stolen by Faith.
Yeah,
but
I feel bad for her.
Remember when Faith got to town and you guys were both like, oh, shiny, who's Buffy? Yeah. We don't know that bitch.
Yeah, do you remember, guys?
Because I do.
Yep. And it also shows Xander sitting on the steps in the library, staring into space, tapping
his
fingers.
And then Faith, lounging in black leather pants, the most comfortable of all house pants her hotel room.
Oh, in my notes, it's just like the scene where I awkwardly pull up my collar and say yeesh.
Yeah, so this scene is rough.
It is.
So there's a knock at the door, and who is it? It's Xander. Faith is not happy to see him, as everybody with a brain could have predicted.
Yeah, surprisingly, Xander didn't listen to every fucking buddy else and still thinks he can talk to her.
He asks to come in, and after some frankly gross banter about how he couldn't take her if he wanted to, she lets him in.
Yep.
So he says he heard about what happened and thought she might need a friend. Faith tells him to go talk to Buffy on account of how she's the one who killed that guy.
Yep, and Xander's like, Faith, you may not think so, but I sort of know you. No, you fucking don't. I've seen you post-battle. I know firsthand that you're like a wild thing. Half the time, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, Faith is like, she's keeping up the charade, though. She does not appreciate being told that he heard that version and insists that it was Buffy and insults Xander when he offers her help.
But then again, Xander offers to testify in court.
Oh, yeah, which is like, what?
Yeah. And Faith is like, oh, yeah, you'd love for everybody to know that we fucked.
Yeah, he says he thought they had a connection, and she laughs in his face and proceeds to attempt to both rape and kill him.
Yeah, it's like, I see where she's coming from up until laughing at his face, but then she's like, oh no, I can do whatever I want to.
This is honestly a really awful scene to watch.
Like, I forgot how bad it was.
So did I. Everything about this scene is horrible in a way that we don't generally see portrayed. Like, female sexual violence is fucking like entertainment anymore. It's used everywhere for everything. It's almost like we're desensitized to it, which makes it, I mean, which is a terrible thing in the first place, but it does make it so that, like, we don't generally see men being victims of sexual assault, and it's more shocking to see it than it is to see violence toward women, which I feel like is a real testament to how normalized violence for women is. But anyway,
but also, like, in another way, this is like normalized in a way, like, people think like the guy should just want it, so like, and To be fair, like, it's hard for our, like, both of us to watch it, and we didn't realize how bad it was, but everybody else kind of just brushes
they
it
really
off.
They really do just brush it off.
Because, like, not only does she, like, start to try to, like, essentially rape him, but then kill she him. Wants, then she starts to, like, choke him.
Like, okay, looking forward, and this is something that I know is, like, a touchy thing for a lot of Buffy fans, like, in season six, when Spike and Buffy have their seeing red moment, obviously that's awful, and people... do not a lot of people do not forgive Spike for that nor should they if they don't want to, but no one ever seems to really remember that Faith did this to Xander
or that Xander, like, because while I obviously do not fucking condone rape or anything like that or attempted rape, but, like, I do look at it, like, because this is just a fictional thing, it's not real people, like, Spike didn't have his soul, so he was, like, as much of a demon as Angelus when that happened, whereas, like, nobody looks at when Xander was possessed by a hyena and essentially tried to rape Buffy.
Yeah.
You know, or Faith is under the influence of nothing. And basically attempts to rape and kill Xander.
I mean, it's a very complicated and sensitive topic, and I feel like, there's a lot more to it than just, like, saying, well, she did it, he did it, whatever. But, like, I feel like this never gets talked about.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It doesn't really get remembered as being part of her whole... Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously we see what she does to Wes later on and, like, everything. But this is bad. And this is, like, before she really...
Breaks bad,
yeah. If you will. So, anyway, this is awful. And I feel, like, a lot of genuine sympathy for Xander. Yeah.
Faith is like, I can make you scream, I can make you die. And then... Angel hits her in the head with a baseball
bat. Yeah, this horrible spectacle gets interrupted by Angel.
Yes. And our next scene is a little lighter because Shack's back. All right.
Ew. Although I want to say, like, real talk, the way this is described in the shooting script is fucking gross. There's lots of mentions of Xander being aroused despite himself.
And oh, really?
Helpless that. In more ways than one.
Oh, I didn't see that. That makes me unhappy.
Yuckaroni, guys. Oh. Yuckaroni and cheese. This is disgusting.
Yeah.
But
the we're Angel's shack. House, and is that another motherfucking wall sconce you have stuck to? Like, they have learned nothing.
We learned nothing. Although, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if...
The shackles are great, but you gotta have something better than a goddamn wall sconce to attach
you
your shackles to.
Just put a fucking eye hook in the wall, guys. Come on.
That's not how it works. You gotta use a stud finder.
So, cut... Yeah, use a stud finder on the stone walls. What are you finding?
Studs.
Do you know how rocks work? The studs encased in the rocks.
Yeah,
Angel's been busy. So cut to Angel's mansion, where Faith is indeed chained up with a pair of quality shackles from the Shackle Shack.
A little plug there.
She turns her weird sexual aggression toward Angel, who obviously is not biting.
Yeah. So. And Faith tries to explain that, you know, her and Xander were just playing, but Angel's like, oh, and he just forgot the safety word. And I think safety word sounds weird.
It's so safe, word. Safe word. Yeah, but Faith is like, safety words are for wimps.
No, they're not, Faith. Just so you know.
No, Faith. Safe words are an important and vital part of safe and healthy BDSM.
I know you just, you know, tried to sexually assault someone, so you probably aren't going to get much help from this, but just so you know, safety words.
Faith would not provide any aftercare.
No, sir.
She's like, I'm just going to throw rocks at you until you leave. So this is what I call waiting the body.
Yes.
Stone pebbles. So Buffy wants to help. Buffy's in the courtyard where Angel goes out to talk to her. She wants to help. She wants to go get, like, Faith's things from her motel room so they'll see that they're on her side.
Yep.
And it's
in the shooting script, it adds it, like, just a small, like, she'll see that we want her to be comfortable.
Yeah. So Angel is really the best person for this job, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And although, spoiler, this isn't going to end great, in Angel later, he helps her again, kind of.
And, yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of kindred in a lot of ways.
And Angel tries to sort of moderate her expectations, but Buffy is optimistic and believes that Faith wants help. Angel says she's got a taste for it now, which is a scary phrase. Can you imagine if Faith became a vampire?
Oh, my God.
It would be so badass, but terrible.
Yeah. I would love and hate it.
I know. I want to see it, but only in, like, an alternate universe way.
Like Vampire Willow, which we're getting to again soon.
What if Vampire Faith and Vampire Willow teamed up? Mm-hmm. That would be the sexiest.
She dumps Vampire Xander with his diamond tennis necklace.
Of course. And then she and Vampire Faith run off and have, like, a fucking badass, sexy lesbian killing spree.
I need a moment. I know. Be in my bone.
I know.
So we're back at City Hall, and the mayor checks the security cameras, which were probably fucking sitting in plain sight this whole time.
So, he sees Buffy and Faith breaking into Alan's office, and also...
They suck so bad. Like, how do you... I'm sure that camera was not hidden.
They see them seeing the mayor and Trick together, thick as thieves.
Thick as thieves.
So since they don't have enough evidence to put them in jail, he says that Mr. Trick needs to come up with a more efficient solution. Lydia...
I'm sorry.
Spilled Frappuccino on my iPad.
And then
You're not allowed to have beverages around electronics.
I know. My laptop died because I spilled a Red Bull on it.
So, yeah. Back at Angel's Mansion, the House of Pain, he continues to try to get through to Faith, and he knows what it's like to take a life, etc. So there's a super dumb line about evil taking MasterCard.
Yeah, I hate it.
You can tell when he eventually starts to make a dent in her denial, but that is, of course, immediately ruined by Wesley and his council goons.
Yeah. Oh, and there is a little cut back and forth before.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah. Do you want to do that?
Yes.
Do you want to be?
Can I be Faith?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll start with Angel saying, "You and me, Faith, we're a lot alike."
Okay. Well, you're kind of dead.
Like I said, a lot alike.
Sorry, buddy. I'm alive and kicking. In fact, I've got a bodily function that needs attending to pretty quick here.
You're not alive. You're just running. Afraid to feel. Afraid to be touched.
Some part of her reacts to this truth, but she averts her eyes. Save it for Hallmark. I have to pee.
And then he goes on to say, like, time was I thought humans existed just to hurt each other. But there's good people in Sunnydale.
Happy meals with legs running around for my amusement. So, Wesley and the council burst in. They beat up Angel. They put Faith in handcuffs and haul her off to face judgment in England.
And in the shooting script, Angel says, no, leave her. You can't help her.
Yeah. I have so many conflicting feelings about and for Faith in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, Wesley, this is the worst idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's weird because I love Wes so much in Angel, but like this Wes is just like a steaming pile of douche that someone molded into a vaguely man-shaped.
A man-shaped douchebag.
Yes.
We cut to the back of a moving truck.
Oh, actually, real quick, I just want to mention, in the shooting script, it says, as her eyes go completely dead, this is the last straw. Dun, dun, dun. So she's pissed.
I don't think she really has a right to be pissed here, but I do think that this is just the worst way you could have handled somebody in her, like, emotional state.
Yeah, definitely. Wes is a fucking idiot.
Which, like... Of course, Giles knew.
Yeah.
But Wesley has to be the commander.
Like, I'm the watcher. I don't listen to Giles. Giles knows nothing. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm the watcher. Now, you just watch me fuck things up. So,
Watch this ass walk out the room.
Watch my cheeks wink at you as I walk out the door.
Just the right amount of swing in my step.
Oh my God. Her ass was giving me those bedroom eyes.
Oh my God. No, just eyes, like one on each butt cheek. Just like, hello.
Make sure they have eyelashes. Gotta be a female
of
butt.
Of course.
We cut to the back of a moving truck where Faith is chained up. Wesley assures her that no one is rushing to judgment. And then he and the council just want to help, which is like, hi, have you considered the methods you use to try to help?
Because in the shooting script he has, because he says, despite the violence of your apprehension.
Please believe, nobody is rushing to judgment. The first priority of both myself and the council is to help you.
I feel like they're being kind of judgy.
I feel like you're...
I mean, Faith has the right to be judged, though. She should be
judged.
Yeah,
but I feel like, Wesley, you're full of shit.
Yeah, you are.
So, he notices her fiddling with her restraints and tells the council guy to tighten them, and Faith immediately gets him down on the ground with her boot on his face.
And she says that she is Faith. Faith says that Wes has to unlock her cuffs or she'll pop this guy's head like a grape, because description helps.
He does unlock her, and then she jumps out the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm. He says, you can't keep running, and then she punches him in the jaw, which was pretty satisfying.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
It was. So Buffy arrives back at Angel's Mansion to find him still in a bundle of nets and ropes on the floor, which, like, okay, either either they just left, which I don't...
Is he as bad at getting out of ropes as Faith is at topping off? I'm just picturing him, like,
struggling. Really, Connor did not need to dump him to the bottom of the ocean in a box. He just needed to tangle him up in fishing wire.
Also, Faith needs to take body dumping lessons from Connor, by the way.
Oh, Connor's great at dumping bodies. Angel can be felled by macrame.
I'm just picturing him like, you know, like how sometimes if my cat will get like a plastic bag on it to like run around. That's like Angel right now.
I'm just imagining he like goes into one of those hippie shops that's full of like macrame plant holders and he's like, oh god, my worst nightmare,
stumbling into everything. I love imagining like clumsy Angel
just gonna be like, my new thing is not like a bull in a china shop, it's like Angel in a macrame store.
He's great.
He's very bad at getting out of bundles.
And there's a teeny tiny cut thing in the shooting strip that I like to think of comically.
Yeah,
it's like, Angel, are you all right?
I'm fine. They took Faith.
Who took Faith?
Who's on first?
Faith's on second.
So, yeah, Buffy rushes over, and then we cut to the library where he's telling the gang what happened with Wes and the council. Giles says that she'll be headed back to England and that the council will likely lock her away.
And Buffy suggests going to the airport to stop him, but Willow drops a truth bomb.
Yeah.
She's like, why? You know, I'm not the most objective, but, you know, she murdered someone and accused Buffy. Then she went on the street and yelled about it to bystanders. And Willow says she hurt Xander.
Yeah.
Which is a nicer way to put it, but... truthfully, Willow was right in saying that she kind of does belong behind bars right now.
And there's one a cut thing from the shooting script where it's like, now Xander tries to add something, but his voice is completely shot. He falls silent, embarrassed and frustrated. Buffy is sympathetic but resolute.
That's the way to be. Sympathetic yet resolute.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Buffy's like, you know, she was opening up, like, if we could just stop Wes. And then he saunters in with his fucking black eye.
With a black eye and not nearly enough contrition.
Yep, he's like, oh, that's not an issue, because I lost her. My bad.
I'm in charge.
But everybody's like, good job, dick fuck. And they all, like, start to leave.
Good job, shit weasel.
And Buffy's like, I'll go to the docks. Giles, go to the hotel. Xander and Willow, just look at her haunts and be careful.
Yeah.
In the shooting script, he adds, take weapons.
Yes.
And then Wes is like, what can I do? I want to help.
Have you tried, have you still got that ticket back to the mother country?
Oh, sick burn. He deserves it.
So Buffy arrives at the beautiful Sunnydale docks.
Sitting in on the dock of the bay.
Waiting for my car.
Watching the tide roll away.
See, I was thinking like she's waiting for her cargo ship to take her away.
That works too. I'm doing hand waves.
So Buffy arrives at the beautiful Sunnydale docks in a sweet leopard print trench coat.
Yes, it's good that she, you know, took the time to change.
Yeah.
She wasn't wearing
She's got a collection. Yes. And does indeed find Faith there.
Yep, and they start bickering. Again, do you want to kind of read it since we have no stuff?
So,
I'll be Buffy, be Faith.
Okay, sure. Faith, you don't give up, do you?
Not my friends, no.
Yeah, because you and me are such solid buds, right?
We could be. It's not too late.
For me to change and be more like you, you mean? Little Miss Goody Two-Shoes? It ain't gonna happen, B.
Faith, nobody is asking you to be like me, but you can't go on like this.
Scares you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it scares me, Faith. You're hurting people. You're hurting yourself.
But that's not it. That's not what bothers you so much. What bugs you is that you know I'm right. You know in your gut that we don't need the law. We are the law.
Just dropping some little supervillain statements.
Yeah, Faith is very,
yeah.
Very supervillainy.
No!
Yes, you know exactly what I'm about because you have it in you too.
No, Faith, you're sick.
I've seen it, B. You've got that lust, and I'm not just talking about screwing vampires.
Don't you dare bring him into this!
It was good, wasn't it? The sex, the danger. Bet a part of you even dug him when he went psycho.
No!
See, you need me to toe the line because you're afraid you'll go over it, aren't you, B? You can't handle watching me live my own way, having a blast, because it tempts you. You know it could be you.
Buffy's had enough. She stops, faces her, and backhand and punches her in the jaw. Faith comes up, smiling wickedly.
That's my girl.
I try to get away. No, I'm not gonna do this!
Why not? Feels good. Blood rising.
Yeah, then they kind of... Then vampires are...
Then vampires!
They just drop in from the top of the ship or whatever.
Yeah, so they're, like, fighting back and forth. Faith is goading her. And then a giant shipping crate drops down from a crane, and Buffy sort of saves Faith from that. But she herself gets kind of caught underneath it during the beginning of this fight. And then vamps are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Fight ensues.
And Mr. Trick is there, and he gets Buffy, and he's like, I hear once you've tasted a Slayer, you never want to go back.
Which is a weird take on the, like...
Yeah.
Old, once you go black, you never go back.
It's a little weird, yeah. But yeah, he's about to bite Buffy, but then Faith.
Well, he's got like her scarf around her neck, and he's like whipping her around. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. But I like that as he's about to die, he's like, "Oh no, no, this is no good at all."
Yeah.
And I will miss Mr. Trick, because he's pretty fucking great.
R.I.P. Mr. Trick. I wish he would have stayed around. Yeah. So Faith does save Buffy, and they share a look. And then we cut to the library, and Buffy and Giles discuss the events of the evening. Faith came back to town with Buffy, which Giles thinks is a good sign, though she still has a lot of work to do, and Buffy's not going to give up on her.
Yeah, and there's a little cutscene where Buffy says, I really thought we were going to lose her, and Giles says that she still has a lot to face before she can put it behind her, but she has a real chance since you didn't give up on her.
Yeah.
And then Faith breaks bed extra at the very end, because we're in the mayor's office.
Faith goes to the dark side.
Yeah, she's like, you sent your boy to kill me? That's right, I did. He's dust.
I thought he might be, what with you standing here and all.
I guess that means you have a job opening. Dun, 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 dun. And that is
our episode. So, MVP.
Congratulations to the class of 1999. You all proved more or less adequate.
I have a tie between Dr. Buffenstein, as I wrote in my notes. I was all about the puns. And Angel.
I have Angel, although I could also get on board with Buff and stuff.
I feel like I am leaning to Angel just because Angel gets it less, which sounds like maybe not a fair reason to pick him, but I kind of want to give it to him.
I think he gets it for me.
Because I think they're at least equal. It just, for me, it edges it over because Angel, he's the one that could have really
helped
her.
One who, like, was getting through to her. LVP is obviously Wes.
Yep. I'm trying to remember to keep my tallies of
I saw MVPs your doc titled Tally-Ho.
Tally-Ho. So we both give Angel...
Angel, yes.
Boop. One. One. And then where's Wes?
Definitely Wes.
Negative one. Ooh, yeah. two ups in a row.
He done fucked...
Negative one.
He fucked all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
So... Okay, Monster of the Week.
You are a monster. Vampires are monsters. They make monster movies about them.
Well, yeah, you got me there.
Faith is pretty much the Monster of the Week. Wes and the Watchers Council also.
Yeah, they...
Just because, they
fucking suck.
They really screwed the pooch on
this
one.
They are terrible.
I mean, they're terrible always, but, like, this situation could have been mitigated.
And also you think since they only, like, we've talked about how they exist for the Slayer and how that means they should be doing a million of other things differently, but, like, you'd think they'd have more than just, like, Wes and one other dude, like, I mean, essentially guarding her.
This shit has been happening. This Slayer shit has been happening for millennia, apparently. In all of that time, especially, like, way back when people didn't really give that big of a shit about killing other people, cannot believe that this is their methodology that they've, like, developed.
If an accident happens, you mean?
Yeah, like, this is how they deal with a Slayer that, like, this is not the first time this has happened.
Yeah.
And we, like, I just...
And even, like, because, like, you brought up in season six later, like, Buffy thinks that she does it later, too. Like, it's... Like, and it makes sense. Like,
of course it does.
Yeah.
Like, and I just can't imagine, like, why do you think that this is the way to do things? Oh, right, because you're, like, the living, breathing embodiment of the patriarchy.
Yeah, because even if, like, say it had been Buffy who accidentally killed somebody, and then, like, you fucking grab her and, like, put her in shackles in the back of a van, she might flip out, too.
Yeah, that's not going to do anything, you know?
It's
like,
not the way to approach this.
Make her, it's not like Faith, like, did premeditated murder at this point. Like, it's not like she went out to kill Ellen.
Yeah.
Like, it was an accident.
It was an accident, yeah. Although she was pretty bad at, you know, trying to hide that body.
Well, yeah, she didn't handle it well, but, like...
Just because she's bad at dumping bodies doesn't mean she's...
She didn't handle it well, but they really pushed her over the edge. So, yeah, and Faith, I felt a lot of things for her in this episode. Yeah. A lot of it was bad. Some of it was sympathetic.
Because, like, she's, like, going to the mayor is when she, like, really turns the corner. But, like, before that, it's, like...
The thing with Xander.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How did I forget that already?
I don't know.
We just talked about it. And we just talked about how weird it was that nobody else made a big deal out of it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened. But, yeah, because even, like, I'd say in the first half of the episode, like, she's not handling it the way she should, obviously, but when she starts to try to blame it on Buffy, and then when she, you know, tries to assault Xander, and... Yeah. So before that, she's kind of more misunderstood and, like...
At the end, she really, like, makes her decision.
Yeah.
So,
Which, I mean, and it's, like, extra frustrating in regards to Wes, too, because, like, Angel, I feel like there's a good chance he would have been able...
He would have.
...to get through to her and help her, and this whole thing could have gone very differently Wes wasn't a fucking bag of shit.
Completely gone the other way, like... Yeah.
I'm sorry, Wes. I will love you later, but I don't love you now.
No. I mean, well, he gets his uppance. Yep. His uppance comes.
His so, uppance.
Trivia.
Chips.
What do we know?
Dog's spit is cleaner than human.
Besides that?
Finch's death is the third murder investigation in which Buffy has been involved in less than 2 years. She was
There's only one detective.
She was previously suspected in the deaths of her would-be stepfather, Robot Ted, and fellow slayer, Kendra. Additionally, both of the previous cases were investigated by the same detective, Detective Sunnydale, Paul Stein.
Also, I think that they only investigate, like, murders if... They're going to investigate Buffy.
Yeah, they only investigate...
If anyone else kills somebody, they don't care.
Murders and that one homeless guy.
Oh, yeah, that one. He must have been a really important homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
Only the third time that police forensics have been involved in a death. Good job, Sunnydale PD. The first time was in Ted. The second time was in Gingerbread.
Mm-hmm. The telephone number that Wesley dials when contacting the Watchers Council regarding Faith appears to be a correct one, which is unusual for television and film. Ooh. The international calling code from the US to the UK is 011-44- telephone number. On screen, we clearly see Wesley dialing 1144 and the rest of the number.
Ooh, the more you know.
Da-na-na. Well, at least he got the phone number right. So,
Faith follows Angel as a character who fights on Buffy's side but later turns into a villain. While Angel's turn was sudden and caused by his curse, Faith's transformation is more gradual. The seeds were planted in her first appearance. Were they? I mean, she was personality-wise very different, but I don't know if it was planted that she was bad.
I mean, Faith has been, like, severely traumatized.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like you could tell that she was traumatized in her first episode because there's the whole Kisto thing.
Yeah,
and
she also, as we learned, did not really have a great home life. So she just was set up a little bit for failure, I think.
Yeah.
So, in this episode, Buffy has a nightmare of Faith drowning.
Much like Jason Voorhees in the Friday the 13th franchise.
Many years later, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8, the comics, Faith would later almost drown her out of frustration, nearly killing Buffy in No Future for You.
I remember that. Part of the comics I actually remember, because mm-hmm. Season 8 I read, like, a couple times, and then I meant to read the rest, and I still haven't. We kind of talked about this, but Angel seems to be able to get through to Faith, which is a theme that will be picked up later in LA. The events of this episode are one of the primary reasons Wesley is eventually dismissed from the Watchers Council, as revealed in the Angel Season 1 episode, Pardon Gifts.
You shithead.
Yep.
Buffy seeing Mayor Wilkins and Mr. Trick together provides the Scoobies with their first concrete evidence that the mayor is not what he seems and will become a problem.
Faith says to Buffy, "We are the law," like a real fucking supervillain. Buffy later mentions in Selfless that she was the law.
I mean, in that case, she's talking about dealing with demons, though.
Yeah, it's a little different.
It is different.
Sometimes I disagree with you, faceless trivia writers.
I feel like we disagree with them a lot.
Yeah.
I mentioned this during the main episode, but at the beginning of the episode, a detective asks a female witness what time she heard the scream. However, Finch didn't scream.
Liar! She was a plant.
He is planting evidence.
Also, I don't think I really looked through the trivia much beforehand, but, when Buffy confronts Faith at the docks, the ship in the background is the Tanager. The same vessel also featured prominently in The Usual Suspects.
Interesting.
Huh.
Although credited, Oz does not appear in this episode as Seth Green. I'm sorry, that was read strangely. Although credited, Oz does not appear in this episode as Seth Green was away filming his scenes as Scott Evil in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. This is the only time during Season 3 that a main character is absent.
International titles.
French. Above the Laws.
German. Consequences! It's just the German word for consequences.
Yes.
Consequenzen.
Consequenzen.
Fashion?
I'm a blood-sucking fiend. Look at my outfit.
So in the beginning, we have... did we say fashion yet?
Fashion?
Okay. In the beginning, Buffy has pajamas with little sheeps on them.
And if you brighten up the scene with her mom, her pajamas are very tropical.
Joyce is feeling saucy.
Good job, Joyce. How do I go back?
Lydia is as a child.
I am.
I have this shot of Giles just looking real sexy with
his tiny cup. Oh, is it? Same here.
His tiny little cup.
It is a very little cup. I hadn't noticed that.
I believe in large mugs, so...
And I feel like Cordelia is dressed kind of like from the 60s.
She's dressed very... I don't think she's dressed from the 60s. Her hair has a little bouffanty thing going on, which I think is maybe giving you that impression. But she's wearing like an all-gray schoolgirl outfit, kind of.
The skirt's like pleated, too. Yeah. Also, I can't read what Faith's shirt says.
I have a shot of it later. It is Motor City Baby.
Okay.
So, yeah, Faith is wearing like a blue shirt with Motor City Baby on it. And one of those like ball chains.
I have them.
Me too. Yeah. And Buffy's got like a tank top with little sequiny things on it. And she is
red,
giving
like
Faith
cowboy boots.
This look that she is giving Faith.
Oh, damn, girl.
I hate those boots. I hate them.
Yeah. Willow is surprised, dressed like a toddler with her little overalls.
Osh, gosh, bagosh.
Mr. Trick, on the other hand, wearing a burgundy, it looks like velour.
Oh, it's velour. Or and velvet.
It's good in this. It's no Angel wearing velvet before.
Listen, Mr. Trick is well-dressed.
Yes,
he is. A well-appointed modern vampire.
Mm-hmm. When Faith picks up the photoshopped picture of, the mayor and what's his face, she has a puzzle ring on her thumb that I noticed because I used to have the same exact puzzle ring that I always wore on my thumb.
Interesting.
Kind of weird.
Interesting.
Yep.
Joyce, when the detective is at her house, is just wearing all brown. That's her mood. The detective's mustache deserves its own credit.
Does it? Let me see. Hey there, Stash McGee.
Stash McGash.
Oh, no. That's
Stash McGee.
Oh, my God. And Buffy's wearing a hot pink trench coat.
Yeah.
I feel like she has many different trench coats of different bright colors prints.
When she goes over to Willow's for her sad talk, she's wearing a hot pink trench coat.
And Willow's shirt says highway, but we can't see the rest because of her Oshkosh Bagosh overalls.
Yes. Oh, and I stand mistaken. Faith was not wearing a ball chain. She was wearing, it's like a thick silver chain.
Oh, okay.
So, and she looks
fired.
Fucking evil in this shot, but also fucking sexy.
Speaking of fucking sexy, when Giles does his like fake out stern sexy stuff, he looks sexily rumpled. Sexily
rumpled. When they're having
so many shots.
I know, me too.
I liked it.
When they are discussing their possible intervention of Faith, Willow has her little floral skirt on and like a striped top and purple tights. Buffy looks really cute. I think she's got like boots and pants then just like a bigger
kind of
top.
And I just have one of the pictures of Giles just giving Xander such side eye, which is great.
Side eye.
And then why cry in the, why would you sit on a public toilet with like your clothes like getting all the toilet germs on them?
I don't know. She's too sad to care about E. coli.
But when Xander stops over at Faith's she is
outfit.
Wearing some pleather, vinyl, whatever pants.
She looks very hot.
Yeah. Although at least her shirt is sheer.
Yes.
It's like a sheer kind of like
her shirt,
button-y shirt.
She's got like a sheer black buttoned-up shirt over like a black bra and black pleather pants.
Yeah. Again, I had those vinyl-type pants when I was young and around this time period. And, oh, so sweaty.
And then later on, so Buffy sweaty. Has changed into her... leopard print trench coat.
Yep. It seems really weird, like timing to change. It's like, we have to find Faith. Let me get my leopard print shirt. Whatever.
You know, she's got like a red scarf and it gets wrapped around her neck. As we learned from The Incredibles, no scarves, no capes.
Faith has her dark jean jacket, which I like.
I love the jean jacket. But that's all really for fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, most notably Faith's leather assault outfit.
Yes.
Let me check if we have any feedback. We're not going to do a talentless show because, as we said, we already did everything during it. There wasn't really a ton to warrant a regular talentless show.
Yeah. You may or may not have noticed that when the talentless is scant, we just kind of pepper it in where it is because there's no point in making it separate.
Yes. Let's see. I did ask for feedback on Twitter.
Twiggity twats. Whoa, that's something different.
But the feedback that I have is all for Doppelgangland. So, that is our episode. If you would like to get in touch with us, please feel... If you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us at firebedpod@gmail.com. We probably won't see it because we never check that email.
But I think I get notifications, so I'll probably notice maybe. Maybe. One thing I won't notice unless Amanda tells me is if you get at us on social media, because I'm cripplingly antisocial, where you can reach us on both Instagram and Twitter at a circle. That's the at sign. Bye, bed pod.
What was that? It sounded like bye, bed pod.
Firebed pod. Little circle A, firebed pod.
Yes. Don't at bye, bed pod. I'm not sure what that is.
Bye, bed pong.
Bye, bed pong.
Remember pogs? Those were great.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. They were cardboard discs.
They were cardboard, unless you had a slammer that was like a plastic or metal disc.
I had
discs.
An OJ slammer. Like during the OJ trial, they sold innocent and guilty ones, and I bought a guilty one. I was far too young to understand the
course,
specifics.
Of course, because he was fucking guilty.
Even like first grade me, or however young I was, knew.
I had all these weird ones with like pictures of animals with like little things drawn on them, like a monkey with a cigarette.
Monkeys don't smoke.
They shouldn't.
Actually, some monkeys have in the past for circus acts and stuff, and I don't approve.
No, they shouldn't.
I don't approve of it being the Watcher Council's password either. Leave your monkeys out of your dirty, dirty Watcher business.
Get monkeys out of your dirty whore mouths. If you would like to get in touch with us,
we're on fire.
We're literally burning to the ground. If you would like to get in touch with us,
sorry, I keep laughing because
please feel free and let us know what you thought about this episode. What do you think about Wes being like a man-shaped douchebag?
Do you think that Faith should have better body dumping skills?
Do you think that everybody really forgets what Faith did to Xander and it was like super fucking shitty and terrible and awful?
And on the other hand, do you remember how sexy Giles was when he was all stern just to fool Faith?
But I don't...
So naughty stern.
I feel weird getting aroused by him being stern toward Buffy.
I don't care. I like it.
She likes it.
I like it. I'll take any stern Giles. Thank you very much.
Yeah. What do you think about Faith breaking bad? Are you going to miss Mr. Trick? We miss Mr. Trick.
I'll miss his suits already. And him. I realized that it sounded like I was just going to say I miss his suit. It's more than just a suit.
I miss his suits. You can't get suits like that in Sunnydale.
No, so. You shouldn't. It's probably really hot, and you don't need to be wearing a velvet suit unless you're a vampire.
He's a vampire. He doesn't get hot.
Jealous.
I know.
Would we just be, like, comfortable in this sweaty bunker while we vamps?
I have said before that I would never want to be a vampire because I don't want to fucking live forever.
Oh, God. I don't want to fucking reach 40.
No. Let alone forever. If I could be a comfortable temperature... Ooh. Do vampires are they like lizards? If you, like, laid on a rock, would you get more?
I'm
just imagining, like, vampires. Obviously not in the sun. You'd have to, like, find a rock at sundown.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining some sort of moonbathing beach where all the vampires lay naked on hot rocks. Okay.
I can't even respond to that, but it's great. Oh, also, because you said you would never want to be a vampire, and that just reminded me that I forget how it came up, but me and John were talking, and I was like, I hope I die first, and I leave you with all the pets, because if you're just a dude who lives alone with two cats and two ferrets, you're a fucking freak.
That is mean and rude.
It's funny, though.
It doesn't make him a freak.
No, but some people might look at him funny, and I would laugh at him from beyond the grave, and I'd be like, you take care of our pets. Lydia. I love them all so much.
Also, bye.
I'm dead. You take care of them.
Anyway, we're going to leave you on that because it's real hot in the bunker again.
Yep, and we got another up to do.
I think the fan got kind of knocked. All right.
All right, we're done.
We're done here. Thank you for listening.
And always remember Jesse.
And that Ten Sherman fingered Ginger in front of everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. Bye. Everyone at the moon bathing beach.
Bye. Like lizards on the rock with fingers.
Bye. Welcome to Firebed Tree Pretty, Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast. We're your hosts, Amanda Cronster.
And Leapin' Lydia Matt.
Leapin' Lydia. Leapin' Lydia.
I don't leap. I flap my arms about while speaking.
Mic one looks good. Ooh, slurping. Some slurping steins over there.
Contest.
Was there a rapture? Where is everyone? And why is Giles always at school?
I don't know.
Did they take Giles' apartment when they fired him?
Fucking probably.
Does he sleep in the library?
They can't even pay Buffy.
Is he naked in the book cage now?
Oh. And then Wes calls himself the goddamn commander?
That's what he calls his dick.
One moment, girls. I'm your commander now.
What the fuck?
You know that he's going to...
He's putting Cordelia in his spank bank, and he's going to be like, when he's imagining it, he's going to be like, I'm your commander now.
Commander.
Cheeky American schoolgirl.
Oh, Commander
Wesley. Wow. What is happening?
Woo, okay.
This... How's it going? Do you want to take a moment for self-reflection?